The following audio is from New Generation Worship Center. For more information, please visit www.ngworshipcenter.org.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Thank God for everybody that's online. I see we have two guests from Brazil, Matthias and Francili. Thank you for being here with us this morning. Thank you, Kafia, for recruiting them and bringing them to be with us today again. I pray that everybody understand and realize where we are right now in the world and how it's affecting us. I guess right now, before I go off into what God has given me for the message today, I guess right now, everybody on this line, at least I know in this country, has been affected by what's going on overseas. I don't want to pronounce the name of that country, but everybody knows about what's going on over there. Our gasoline prices are skyrocketing. Our grocery prices are going to be going up. They have already gone up. They're going to be going up more. And almost everything that has to do with transportation of goods and whatnot, whatever we buy, is going to go up because of the price of fuel. Our water and our light bill is going to be going up. And everything is happening, it seems like, all at once. Just about the time we thought we were getting over COVID, now this. It was not one thing, it's another. And I have to wonder, you know, about us, as those of us who call upon the name of the Lord, if you ever really thought about our peace and safety right now, if you ever really thought about it, we are right now, let me just tell you like it is, I believe it all my heart, we are on the verge of World War III. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it can happen. That much I do know. The premier in Russia has already said he don't want, if anybody in any other country gets involved in the conflict that he's having right now, that he is not, he's ready to unleash nuclear weapons. So when the leader of a country says that, you know, if anything happens, if any mistake is made, all I can say is look out. But I pray that God is getting your heart ready for whatever this world decides to do, the leaders of this world. Many people in this country have been divided for a long time. And they're even more divided over what's going on right now. There are some people right now in this country who want this country to get directly involved. And I know y'all don't. I know if we decide to get directly involved in that conflict over there right now, you know, using these terms, all hell's going to break loose. So this got to be done in a way that keeps us from actually losing the lives of our families, our family members, from going over there fighting, from them sending missiles over here to strategic places to take us out. But there is a mystery I want to talk about right now, about what's going on right now. God knows, and God is in charge, believe it or not. Let me repeat those two phrases. God knows what's going on right now, and God is in charge. Russia is right now trying to eliminate in Ukraine those people that live over there. I mean, I have never seen anything like this, where a nation had been surrounded by a powerful troops with weapons, just annihilating everything, nothing standing, and threatened to send a special nuclear bomb that will suck out the oxygen from the air, so that anybody in the vicinity will die from not being able to breathe. God's there. And I imagine you say, well, how is God there? God is there. God is involved. How is God involved? God is involved. He said in his word, in the same Matthew 24th chapter and the 25th chapter, before Jesus comes back, there shall be wars and rumors of wars. And we, in our lifetime, have never seen anything like this. We've seen Kuwait. We've seen Afghanistan. We've seen other places that we've been involved in, but we've never seen anything like this. This has a potential of being more disastrous than we can even imagine. But I wanted to leave you with something, words of encouragement, at the same time, security. In the time when there seems to be, where is the security? Where is the peace? You know, where is it that we can get along? You know, Blacks are not getting along with each other in a lot of cases. Whites are not getting along with each other over this issue in a lot of cases. Churches are not getting along with each other over these issues that we're having right here in this country. We have been divided for a long, long time. The division that is upon us right now leaves us ripe for the picking, because the method of the enemy is to divide and conquer. And boy, I tell you, if the right time isn't, the right time is right now, because there's a whole lot of division, a lot. And I've been preaching to the churches. I've been preaching to those who will come online, who will hear me. Brothers and sisters, we need to get together. I don't care what denomination you're in. I don't care whatever you are. If you know God, if you claim God, we as Christians, as servants of God, need to come together, if nothing else, to pray. It's time for us to set aside our differences that we have established throughout the times that our denominations have been in operation. I know about that, you know, but that has divided us. We have a primary and common goal, and that's in Christ, the Son of God. We believe in God. We all do. We believe in Christ. We all do. Why can't we come together? That's been my mantra for a long time, longer than before New Generation. Why can't we come together? You know, and out of all the people be fighting one another, we call ourselves under the same name of Christ. We call ourselves Christians, but we're ready to fight at a moment's notice. We're ready to kill, steal, and destroy at a moment's notice. And we call ourselves by the same name. You say, well, I can go ahead and knock you down. I can go ahead and take you out. I can go ahead and bring you down. And then when I get through bringing you down, then what am I doing to you? I go and ask God for forgiveness and get back where I'm supposed to be with him. It don't work like that. God is not like that. You know, the word of God still stands. That whatsoever a man soweth, or woman, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow good seed, you're going to reap good seed. If you sow evil seed, believe it or not, the word of God still stands. You're going to reap from what you sow. I'm going to reap from what I sow. And my brothers and sisters, you're going to reap from what you sow. I am striving my best with all my heart to reap the seeds that God would have me to reap, to sow. And so if you have your word, turn with me this morning to the book of St. Luke. We're going to look at the sixth chapter, the 46th to the 49th verse. The 46th to the 49th verse. Before I give you my subject for, or my topic for this morning, I want to read this text, and I want you to read it with me. And we're going to go into what God has for us on this. He says here, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built an house upon the earth, and against which the streams did beat vehemently. Immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." And I want you all to really, really, really think about a question that God had given me in context of this sermon today. And the question is, where are you building your house? Every one of us have a house that we're building, from the smallest to the greatest that's on this line right now, from all the smallest to the greatest of all of those that will hear my voice. Every one of us have a house that we are working on. And I'll say we have a house we're working on. When I'm talking about a house, I'm referring to you. You are the temple of God. You are the one that God created. You are the house. You are the place where he resides if you are a Christian. I'll say it like this. You are the place where he's supposed to reside. You are, if you're a Christian, if you call yourself by that name. I didn't say that if you were a Baptist. I didn't say if you were a Methodist. I didn't say if you were a Church of God in Christ member. I said if you were a Christian. Now, all other stuff that you might say you are, you know, I'm a Baptist, you know, hey, or I'm a this or I'm a that. Now, that's not going to stand up in the day of God. That's not going to stand up. He didn't say, come unto me, all you that labor, come unto me, all you that want to be a Baptist, come unto me, all you that want to be a Church of God in Christ, a Pentecostal, come unto me, all you that want to. He didn't say that. That's man did that. Christ said, come unto me. Christ said, come unto me. Not any things that we have set up. And I think that's where a lot of our division have come, through these different things that we have decided to set up that seem to keep us from one another every Sunday morning. Not only every Sunday morning, but it seemed to keep us apart even during the week. And a lot of times we point a finger at this or that and say once certain little smart remarks about whatever we think about whoever they are. It's not about that, my brothers and sisters. Bible tells me that God is love. Bible didn't tell me that God was a Baptist. The Bible didn't tell me that God was a Methodist or anybody or anything else out here. But Bible says God is love. You know, and if all of us who call upon his name would come together to pray and reach the lost, we could make a difference in this world. You know, it seems like that sometimes we are so caught up on what we can put in our pockets, you know, and who we could get to pat on our back. We're so caught up on, I got the largest membership, you know, I got the biggest church. Well, I'm driving the finest house that the car of the church is providing for me. I'm living in the finest house. You know, I got it going on like that. I got it made. We're just so caught up in the world of things until we forget about God things. And the Lord said it in the scripture, Christian, if you call yourself that, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Christ said these words exactly himself. Why call you me? Why are you calling me your Lord if you don't do the things that I say? You wasting your time. You calling me Lord? And a lot of times we don't call him Lord until we get in trouble. And a lot of times we don't call him Lord until our health starts failing us or something starts happening and the doctor said there's nothing they can do or someone died in our family. Then we call him Lord. You know, but just let every day go by without anything happening. And it's like, you know, God don't exist. Everything's good. I got it. I got this. I got it made. Everything's fine. It's not fine. But when the world shall say peace and safety, get ready. Whatever you see that's going around with us right now, there's not peace and safety right now. Yeah, COVID's going down to a lower level and everybody's going to be getting ready to go back to work and everybody's going to be going back to school without a mask. You know, it's going to be optional. You don't have to wear it no more if you don't want to. You know, the hospital, the people who are in hospital for COVID now is declining. It seems like everything is getting back to where normal. It's not going to be normal. It never will be like it was before. The most important thing for you, my brothers and sisters, whoever will hear my voice, is answer the question, do you know God? Is he your Lord? Well, say, does he have to be my Lord? Yes, he has to be your Lord. What is it? What do you mean, my Lord? What is the Lord? What is the word Lord? Lord means he is your commander in chief. He's in charge of your life. You all have been in the military, you know, you have people that were ranked above you. And when they told you to move, I guarantee you moved. When they told you had to go, I guarantee you, and they left you with no alternative, you had to go. That's man's rank in the military. And even in a sense of policemen and law enforcement and governments and things like that, when the government says you can't do this and you can't do that, or else you're going to be in jail or in trouble, you're going to move. You're going to do what the law says too. But I'm talking about somebody more powerful than the law. I'm talking about somebody more powerful than a four-star general, a five-star general, whoever it is that's over your part of the military where you were. I'm talking about somebody more powerful than that. He is our Lord. He is our chief executive officer. The Bible says that not only is he our Lord, But you know, the word of God tells, he says that he is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. There is no one greater than him. But then he asks us the question, and he leaves it in a sense that we can make a choice. We can make a decision. Everybody on this line can make a choice. From Brazil, to America, to Pflugerville, to Round Rock, everybody on this line can make an individual choice. If you don't want him, you don't have to have him. You know that? He can take that. If you want to reject him, he can take that. If you don't want him to be your Lord, he can take that. If you want to run your own life, which you really don't, but he can take that too, because see, one thing about it, I understand this. If God is not in charge of your life, if the Lord is not in charge of your life, then there's somebody else is. You are never in charge. Let me give you a little secret message. You are never in charge of your life. There's always somebody you can't see, somebody you don't know. If you don't know God, if you don't know Christ, if he's not the Lord of your life, there's always someone else who is in charge of your life and will dictate to you where to go, what to do, and how to do, how to act, and basically how not to act. There's always somewhere there, always. And if you don't yield to God and his son being the Lord of your life, being the King and King of your life, being the executive officer of your life, being the chief commander of your life, if you don't surrender to him being that, then there's someone else. There is no you. Believe me, there is no you. I run into people all the time, you know, in conflict situations and attacks and different things like that. And I have to stop and ask my Lord, and I have to stop and think to myself, who's using that person? Who's really using them? That's not God. How do you know it's not God? Because I read his word. And that's not the way that God would have us to act. Well, they go to this church or that church. It doesn't matter. I guess about everybody on that line, just about, had given somebody, some preacher, their hand and joined church. Just because you joined church don't mean you made Jesus the Lord of your life. I joined church when I was about 13 years old. Jesus was the Lord of my life. You know, I went to church every now and then, you know, just to pacify. And you can't pacify God by showing up every now and then. But we do that sometimes. We practice that sometimes. We have the freedom and the right to make a choice on who we want to run our lives, to be the Lord of our lives. But then Jesus came back with the disciples and those who were in his presence in his day. And he asked the question, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Is he your Lord? Then why come you not doing what he told you to do? Is he your commanding officer? And he told you, he gave you a charge to do something? Or why didn't you do what he asked you to do? Well, I'll say this. Commanding officers don't ask you to do nothing. They tell you. Y'all been there. They don't ask you, would you go over there? No, they don't say, would you? They say, you go do this. Go do that. Christ only tells us what we need to do to save our own lives. To save our own lives. That's why he talks to us. That's why he deals with us. That's why he leads and he guides us. That's why he gave us his word to study. It's for our own sake. Don't wait until things get tough. And run to God and try to say, well, Lord, I need you now. I'm down on my lowest ebb. You know, my health is bad. You know, my money's not coming in. You know, things are not happening right in my life. I have a problem with my husband. I have a problem with my wife. I have problems on my job. I have a problem with my child. Lord, I need you now. Well, I'm about to take somebody out. I need you. Oh, yeah. We've all seen some of that happen. Some of us have probably been involved in some of that. But do you know making him the Lord of your life will make a difference as night and day in what you how you live your life and how you react to life, especially when hard times come? Now, understand, the Lord said, he that have received Christ as his Lord and have decided to listen to what he says, it's like a man that's built his house on a rock, or a person, I'm going to just use this term, a person who built their house on a rock. And I think about who this rock is. You built your house on Jesus. He is the rock of all ages. You build your house on him. I don't care what happens. You can stand still and depend on him to bring you through that situation. I don't care if it's your health, and I keep elaborating it because a lot of us, a lot of times we freak out when our health get bad. And I don't care if it's a loved one. I don't care if they have left us or God have called them home. You know, if the Lord is the Lord of your life, if he's leading and guiding you, as he has given you confidence and peace, you say, Lord, that person is in your hand. Lord, my help is in your hand. Lord, my situation is in your hand. Lord, I don't want to do what I want to do, you know, because it wouldn't be you. I don't want to react the way I would react because it wouldn't be you. I want you to react through me. I want you to react in me. And most of all, God, you told me in your word, even love my enemies. I really don't want to do that. Not me, but Lord, you told me to do that. And you are the Lord of my life. So I surrender to you. I don't surrender to my enemy, but I surrender to you and let you lead me. Maybe somewhere along the way, maybe somewhere by you surrendering to God, your enemy may be saved. Maybe, just maybe, by you surrendering to God, it'll keep you out of trouble. You know, maybe to that. It'll keep you in line with God. But then again, Christ coming back again, he asked himself the question, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Oh, for the person who calls him Lord, you know, a lot of times we think that at a certain age, we gave the preacher our hand, we shook the preacher's hand, they invited us into his church and gave us all rights and privileges of the church and everything like this, and we were baptized, and now we left there, we're Christians. Come on, y'all. Be real. Oh, we got in there and we gave the preacher, we came up to the altar and we prayed, and they came, here come the mothers and the sisters down to the church or the brothers or whatever the case may be, and they prayed with us and everything. And then somebody got up and told you need to speak in tongues so we can know you've been saved, that you have received the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you what really goes on. So you get up there and yes, get them off your back sometime. You just get up there and say stuff. This has happened. And sometimes they say, well, come back again, and we'll have a midnight service, or we'll have a shut-in, and we'll just pray all night until the Holy Ghost fills you up. And sometimes they say that. No, I'm not so much as critical on all those things, or so much, not so much. But my situation, my question is, when you did all that, did you make him the Lord of your life? How did you walk since you came down from there? How do you talk since you came down from there? How do you treat other people since you came down from there? Because if he's the Lord of your life, his fruit should shine in you. Not you and you, not your mess that we would normally do, but his fruit should shine in you. Oh, you're not perfect. None of us are. But there comes a time in your life when tragic situations get so bad that you just have to back up and say, Lord, I can't handle this. Lord, I can't do this. Lord, you take this. I want you to be seen in me, not me in me. Because if I show up, I'm gonna show out. But you want him to show up, and you want him to show up in you. You want him to get the glory and the honor for living his life through you. That's when you make him the Lord of your life. You're like the person who built their house on a rock. But don't be like the person who built his house without a foundation. Because if you build your house without Christ, if you build your house, you see, everybody on this line is building their house right now. You're building your life right now. You're working on your life right now. Everybody here. Some here, you know, very young. Some here, middle-aged. Some here, kind of old, you know. I don't care, but you're still living. You're still working on your house. You're not that old, sister. But we are still working on this house. And my question is, what is your foundation? Recognize who your foundation is. Is it Christ? Is it you? Is it that Baptist church? Or is it that Methodist church? Or is it that Church of God in Christ? Is it that bishop? Or is it that preacher? What is your foundation? That's important to know. Lord, are you my foundation? Well, you don't really have to ask him that question. You can make him your foundation. You can ask him to come into your life. You can ask him to save you. You can ask him to lead and guide you. You can ask him and tell him, Lord, you are the Lord of my life. You are my commanding officer. You're in charge. You know, I used to be in charge. How many, anybody on the line used to be in charge of your life? You know what you would do when you were in charge of your life? You would give that person double H-E-double-L-L and another L-L. And you were in charge. But when you let the Lord be in charge of your life, you hold your peace. Okay? You pray. You ask God to put a smile on your face when you know you're ready to knock somebody out. Okay? You ask God to take over instead of you taking over the situation. You know? You don't call your brother a fool for allowing God to use him, even though somebody acting a fool around that situation. You encourage your brother or your sister. You pray with them. Help them to be built up stronger in what they're going through with the devil. Because the devil will come. The devil will come like a flood. The Bible says it's like a stream that beat it upon that rock, or beat it upon that house. There is a strong stream. There's a strong storm coming to beat on your house. Oh, yes. And that strong storm might come in the way of illnesses. He may come in the way of loss of life. He may come in the way of loss of a loved one. He may come in the way of somebody just attacking you. And basically, I don't want to use the term. Just to make your mind. Let me just say that. I hope I said it in the noise. Somebody just want to come at you, just want to get you all upset and ready to fight if it takes that. I think all of us we're human, you know. We've been treated in such a way by other people in our lives that it really got on our nerves. It really got on our last nerve, you know. I mean, you want to tell them where to go, who to go to, and where to come. Oh, yes, we do. That's natural. But what's not natural? What is not natural is what God wants us to do. It's not natural for us to turn it over to him. It's not natural to say, Lord, you are the Lord of my life. It's not natural, but that's what he wants you to do. He said, the battle is mine. I can do more than you ever thought about doing. And there is no law against what I will do in this battle that you take that has come upon you. There is no law against it. There's no judge that can hold you guilty. There's nobody that can put you in jail. There is when the Lord gets a hold to someone who claims to be your enemy, there is nothing that they will be able to do to get out of a situation that God will bring upon them. So when you see that, hey, I got an enemy, and I know they're in a situation where I'm turning it over to God. Now God's going to have his way with them. Now I'm going to ask God to have mercy on it. And you say, what? Oh, yeah. God, my enemy, I don't care how they come. I don't care how hard they come. I don't care how they even act a fool. Have mercy on them. God, have mercy on them. In the process of you asking God to have mercy on them, God will have mercy on you. Oh, yes, he will. In the process of you showing them some kind of love, God will show love to you. Oh, yes, he will. That's when your house is built upon a rock. That's when you have made him the Lord of your life. You haven't just joined church. Your name is not just on a church roll somewhere where you just have to go and pay your tithes, you know, and try to pacify God. You can't pacify God. You know, I don't care how many times you show up or don't show up. I don't care what you do. You can't pacify God at all. He made you. He made every last one of us. And he wants to live in us. Everybody that would hear my voice this morning, he wants to live in us. I don't care what your title is in the church, you know, whether you have a title at all. I don't care what you do in the church, but God wants you. He wants you to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He wants to come into your heart. He wants to live in you. He wants you to claim him as Lord and Lord of your life, as the chief commander of your life. Now, you don't have to do this if you don't want to. It's your free will. It's your call. It's your choice. But God has given you and everyone that will hear my voice an opportunity to come to him, to be in him. And I'll just say this to all those who will hear me online, and all of us who would hear this message on Facebook. Brothers and sisters, if you have given your life to Christ and you have made him the Lord and Lord of your life, the commander in chief of your life, let's get together and work. There are a lot of people out there in the world who are lost. And we have been at the church, quote unquote, today, contemporary church. Honestly, we have been a stumbling block to a lot of sinners out there. Oh, yeah. Because they look at us and they see we can't get along. We call ourselves Christians. I don't care about these denominational ties that we wear. That's no big deal. That really no big deal at all. That ain't going to make it. That's not going to make what's going to make us get to heaven. This is our relationship with God. It is the way Christ coming into our hearts and him saving us. That is what's going to get us there. Being born again in him. And so as I get ready to close, I just want to leave this one word on your mind and on your heart. Let the word of God trouble you about your life and your relationship with him. With all the things that are going on today in this world, with all of the wars that are happening in Ukraine and what Russia is doing over there, and Israel even went to talk to, I think, Putin, the leader of Israel, went to talk to Putin about de-escalating the war and about finding a solution to a problem that's happening, they're having over there. A little bitty country, not even the south of Texas. It had everybody around the world supporting him to go over there and talk with them. Let us pray. If we ever needed the Lord in our lives, we sure do need him now. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for allowing us to come together this morning. It's not but a few of us on this line, oh God. Oh, Father, but you only took a few and turned the world upside down. And those who would hear my voice, those who would hear us as this message is broadcast on Facebook and online and other ways, oh God. Father, let's not be so critical of the messenger. Let's not be so critical of the messenger. Father, for you sent your prophets many, many times to proclaim your word. And many, many times they discouraged the prophets, they killed the prophets, they persecuted the prophets, God, and people back then are no different from people that are they are today. But oh God, I pray that you would bless those who would hear, especially those who call upon your name. Help them to help me spread the good news that you've given us to spread. Oh, Father, that those who will receive Christ as their Lord and their Savior might be saved. Help us to work together, oh God, in these last days when everything is coming together upon this world. Father, we need to work together. Black and white, brown and yellow, whatever they are, wherever they are. Oh God, have mercy. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to New Generation Worship Center. For more information, please visit www.ngworshipcenter.org.